Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I know where I'm going to be tomorrow.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio.
No, I'm not going to Amarillo.
Everything that I got is just what I've got on.
George Strait.
When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair.
He's your artist of the day, your AOTD, as we like to say. And he's added a second date in Kansas City for next January. That was announced over the weekend. Hey, man, is it your birthday?
It is.
What? Wait, stop.
I just found out because your husband tweeted about it on the Twitter.
Okay, how awkward for all of us, but really more awkward for you and me, that my husband tweeted out, "Happy birthday, Will Sterrett. We've been here with him all day, and I didn't know."
Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I am a Facebook birthdayer, meaning if you're not on Facebook and it doesn't remind me it's your birthday, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a birthday Facebooker, putter outer?
I am.
Okay, so strike two. Strike two!
Are you Facebook friends with Dana Wright?
To the best of my knowledge, I am. I swore I was.
Sterrett. Yep, there you are. We are friends. Does not say it's your birthday. Oh, there it is. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
Thanks!
I would have brought you something!
I don't normally make a huge deal about my birthday, so.
Why? Are you just a not birthday celebrator person?
I don't have an objection to doing it, but it's not something that I get all amped up. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, it's my birthday week! Everybody watch out! I'm not one of those people.
Oh.
She is.
But I'm also not one of those, I'm going to go ahead and fly the flag at half staff as a preventive measure type thing either.
Yeah.
You know.
How old are you now?
36.
Good.
Well,
that's a good age.
Thank you. Birthday,
man.
Thank you.
I just saw this. We're not talking politics, but he's local. Chris Kobach. Did you see the story in the New York Times?
I don't read anything about him.
He spoke with the president about becoming the immigration czar in the administration. But apparently, according to Maggie Haberman at the New York Times, and she's a damn good reporter, he had a list of demands to become the immigration czar. You want to hear what some of them are?
This ought to be good.
An assurance he would be made the Secretary of Homeland Security by November. An office in the West Wing. Chris Kobach, who ran for Kansas governor and was the Kansas Secretary of State. Before that, he was a city councilman in Overland Park. An office in the West Wing, guaranteed weekends off. And here's the one that just caught my eye. Access to a government jet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Please.
Somebody got too big for their britches, Chris, with a K.
I'm not taking the bait. I'm not talking about it.
I'm not asking you to.
Good. Because I'm not doing it.
I just saw it on Twitter, and I was like, damn, access to a jet? Where are you going to go?
Away.
I was going to say, if you live in Washington, D.C., the ability to get out of town quickly is a very nice thing.
Yeah, but it's not very hard either.
That is true.
You go to what's called the aeroport.
Yes.
And you board a commercial flight like the rest of us.
Of which there are two.
Airports.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm sure that planes are flying in and out on a regular basis.
One would think.
I would imagine getting to where you need to be is not very difficult. You would be the immigration czar, nerd. You're not like the Secretary of State. Simmer down.
Did you see on social media? It was about a week ago. It was in my stack, and we didn't get to it, but I find it interesting. It's not a topic. The things flight attendants notice about you in 3 seconds. Okay?
The things
notice about you
in 3 seconds.
In 3 seconds.
Sober or drunk? Is that one?
Yes.
Sober or drunk?
They automatically hate you when you ask for this.
Hello?
A blanket.
Diet Coke.
Why Diet Coke?
Oh, yeah, because doesn't that one take longer than the others to fizz down?
The extremely carbonated fizz in Diet Coke takes forever to settle at a cruising altitude of 35,000 feet. It takes the most time out of all of the beverages to pour.
Huh. By the way, the keyword is snow 72881.
If they notice you are hot, are crew members allowed to date passengers? This might come as a shocker, but many big-name airlines do not have a policy against flight attendants fraternizing with passengers.
Well, you're not going to do it on the plane.
I don't know.
Where are you going to find private space on a plane for a little mash?
Have you never heard of the Mile High Club?
Have you ever tried to have sex in an airplane bathroom?
No.
It's not.
I have not tried.
I don't
want to
say it's not possible.
But I can barely get my own fat ass in there.
Here's the other deal about that. The flight attendants are always stationed right by the bathroom.
Yeah. See, I don't buy the Mile High Club.
You think it's a myth?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
Number one, you can barely fit one person in there, much less two, okay? I have to bend down just to get in there. When I'm going to the bathroom, if I'm standing up, I have to, like, hunch over because the ceiling is shorter than my head.
What the crew is really doing when they greet you. So, you know, they stand there. Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Hello. Hi. You may think that the greeting by the flight crew upon entering the aircraft is a polite formality, but there is a lot more to it than that.
Tell if you're drunk or sober.
Yes. It is used as an assessment. This kind of makes me want to, like, do something weird, like tick or something when I'm, like, telling her hi. The flight staff uses this to eye passengers who may become problematic.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? You look like you're going to become problematic.
Well, if you're drunk, you certainly have a much higher possibility of becoming
They look for those who could be helpful during an emergency. Apart from reading your attitude, they look for people who are intoxicated, physically fit, physically disabled, traveling alone, and those who speak no English or English.
Physically fit, huh?
Well, because think about it. In an emergency, you would want a physically fit person. I mean, anytime they say, are you comfortable opening that exit door?
Yeah.
I always think,
yeah.
How heavy is it?
I'm very comfortable with it and being the first one out.
I'm also extra comfortable because of this extra leg room.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
More than comfortable opening that door. Yes, because I'm guaranteed to survive. These other morons are not.
Especially with me in charge.
I've always thought it was weird that there's like one or two of them standing right there when you get on. Hello.
They are sizing you.
I always wonder why.
Up.
Why? And I always like go out of my way to be like, well, I'm doing quite fine. How are you today? Because I am not getting profiled for being the drunk. Mm-mm. Not today. Not up in here.
Profiled for being crazy. As a rule of thumb, never drink water from the lavatory tap on airplanes.
Why?
Is
there something wrong with it?
I believe it is not potable.
I don't think it's potable. I
thought it was potable.
My understanding was potable.
If you watch Jeopardy, it's potable.
There's a sticker, I think, in the lavatory that says not to.
I'll take potent potables for $1,000.
Okay, what's up with the hoity-toity accent you're dropping this
hour? Have you watched Jeopardy?
I know, but that's the second time this hour you've done...
Potent potables.
I'm doing just fine. Oh, thank you. I don't know why I went half Asian on that one when I was mimicking Dana, but I did. Is it potable or potable?
It's
I believe it's potable.
I thought it was always potable.
What is wrong with you today?
You know, there's a website that I use that actually has pronunciations of every basic word you can think of.
Potable.
Okay, there we go.
Dang
potable.
Dang it. Dang it. Put tourist in there.
Last thing it says.
Oh boy, here we go again.
We don't need to do that.
tourist.
See?
Yeah, tourist, not tourist.
Or is it tourist?
Oh, great.
Tourist.
So tourist.
So you're deaf and you mispronounce the word.
Tourist.
Say tourist.
Tourist.
I only hear one syllable in there. I'm telling you right now.
No, that's two syllables right there. Tourist.
Tourist.
I mean in the tour part. The keyword this hour is snow. Snow. Text that into 72881. Don't forget, message and data rates may apply. Happy birthday, Will.
Thank you.
You are listening to Kansas City's 98.1
FM. 98.1
FM. KMBZ.
By the way, I just want to mention this because what a wonderful human being to do something like this. If you didn't see the story, it was all over the news this morning, and it's on the front page, above the fold, of even the Wall Street Journal. Commencement speaker yesterday at Morehouse College in Atlanta. He's a billionaire by the name of Robert F. Smith. Announced during his commencement speech that he was paying off all of the graduating seniors' debt.
396 young men.
The school said the value of such a thing is expected to be about $40
million. 396 young men. And what's interesting
is Morehouse College a male-only university?
I did not know that until I just read the 396.
Huh, I didn't know that.
So what's interesting about this, Scott, is the reaction on the faces as they realize what he's saying. Because I think for most of us, when the commencement speaker is there and they're saying, you know, go follow your dreams and, you know, be a good person and remember where you came from and all of these things, you're listening. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're listening. You're being polite.
Yeah.
But you just want to get out there and throw your cap and hug your family and then go get your drink on, right?
Yeah.
So I think they were listening politely, but it took a while for them to realize really what it was he was saying. Because he starts out by saying, quote, we're going to put a little fuel in your bus. It was near the end of his address. We're going to put a little fuel in your bus. This is my class, 2019, he said, personally claiming them as his own. This is my class, and my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans. And it's so interesting.
Look at the reaction from the students.
But right, Scott, that's the reaction after about 4 seconds, five. It took a while. And then you hear a little rumble. Like everyone's like, wait, what? What did he just say?
Yeah.
I heard bus. What?
He's putting fuel in our car?
He's putting fuel in our car?
That's nice.
Is it a gas card? Is it a Quick Trip gas card?
Right.
Because that's awesome, right? So this is one of the students. We're all in robes. We're hot. The sun is beaming down on
us. This is
us,
Atlanta.
Says Ernest Holmes. This is toward the end of the speech, remember. He said he had about $10,000 left in loans, and his parents were going to try to help him tackle those. We're holding our papers up, trying to block the sun out of our eyes. Everyone jumped up, cheered. People were crying. It was just the most amazing thing.
One student said he went up to Mr. Smith afterwards to make sure he heard correctly.
Oh.
And he shook his hand and asked him directly, are you saying that you're going to pay off all of our college student loans? And Mr. Smith looked at him and said, according to this guy, go out into the world and do things. Do not worry about your debt.
That's going to make me cry. This is a liberation gift, meaning this frees these young men from having to make their career decisions based on debt. It allows them, Scott, listen to this. It allows them to pursue what they are passionate about.
What a good human being. What a great human being. Somebody says there's no way all these seniors had that much debt. Huh?
I think tuition is $45,000.
I believe Morehouse College is a private institution, if I'm not mistaken.
Can you imagine?
I could be wrong, but I'll look it up.
Can you imagine for 1 second being the poor SOB that has to give next year's commencement speech at Morehouse? I feel so bad for that person. I welcome you all here today. I'm just going to get it out of the way. I am not paying off your debt.
Yeah, you know, with all due respect, 1245, I don't know if you're trying to be a Debbie Downer or not, but 1245 writes in, well, it kind of sucks for the students who had to work their way through school to pay off their own debt. Yeah, it probably does. However, why can't we just look at this for what it is? It's a good news story. Mr. Smith, Robert Smith, can't go around the country paying off everybody's student loans. Because the student loan debt in America is hovering around $1 trillion, okay? He's worth $5 billion, I believe. $5.6 billion or something like that. He's clearly not worried about where his next meal's ever going to come from. However, why can't we just say that this man yesterday, did an amazing thing, and he also challenged other super wealthy people to do the same. What's wrong with that?
His gift is the largest ever to Morehouse. It is the single largest gift ever provided to eliminate student debt in the United States.
What a great human being. What a good guy.
How many people are they going to have to ask to give next year's commencement speech before they find
I'm definitely not
giving
it.
Not following that.
They weren't going to ask me. You know, they need to ask is Oprah.
You get a car and you get a car.
I'm forgiving the debt for the next 10 years. You look so good in love. It's a jam.
Oh, how you sparkle. And oh, how you shine.
George Strait.
Flush on your cheek.
As we celebrate Will Starrett's birthday today. And only found out about 30 minutes ago.
It's all good.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Susan and Lee Summit. We're talking about, by the way, the commencement speaker at Morehouse College yesterday. He's not a graduate of Morehouse.
Really?
No, he's not. He went to, it said in the story here in the paper, where did he go to school? I'll find it here in just a second. Got a degree in chemical engineering from Cornell, so he's very smart. And also went to the business school at Columbia. Worked as a chemical engineer for several companies, including Kraft. Later joined Goldman Sachs to work in tech investment banking. He's one of the country's wealthiest African Americans and is known for his philanthropy. In 2017, he signed the Giving Pledge, a commitment for the world's wealthiest individuals to commit more than half of their wealth to philanthropy. He donated $20 million in 2016 to the National Museum of African American History and Culture in D.C. Last year, he gave $2.5 million to the Prostate Cancer Foundation. What a good person. Anyway, you know, he did not. He graduated from Cornell and Columbia. But he was the featured commencement speaker yesterday at Morehouse College in Atlanta. His name is Robert Smith. And during the commencement speech, he pledged to pay off every single graduating senior's outstanding student debt. By the way, somebody wrote it on the text line. How'd you like to be that one student who went to Europe this year to find yourself? And now you're graduating next year.
The average student loan debt, well, overall, they're saying it's a $1.5 trillion crisis. But the average debt for the class of 2016, anyway,
was... Isn't it like $35,000?
Yeah, $37,000. Mm. And so you are graduating, starting out into the world with a very, very, very expensive car payment. Basically, most people.
Somebody said it took them 17 years to pay off their student loan debt.
It's 44 million students owing a combined $1.5 trillion. The delinquency rate is 10.7%.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
New delinquent balances. You ready for this? 30 days or more? $32.6 billion in delinquent balances.
Mm.
Seriously delinquent balances. More than,
which means I ain't paying.
More than 90 days, $31 billion. States with the most, do you care to guess?
With the most as a percentage or just the most?
The most.
New York and California have to be the top.
California is number one with the most number of borrowers and the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Highest number of borrowers, highest number of balance.
Which begs to reason because you have more people living there and,
right,
and the schools are more expensive.
Followed by Texas.
Okay, that's fine.
Followed by Florida, New York, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Ohio.
So all the super populated states.
Illinois, Michigan, and North Carolina.
Yeah, all that makes sense.
The lowest average, Kansas and Missouri, neither one make the list of highest or lowest average.
Interesting. Let's go to Susan and Lee Summit. Telephone number here, by the way, is 576-7798. Susan, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I think it's great that you all mentioned this story because it is a positive story. But just as an aside, that does have a local connection. The president of Morehouse, who was installed like in April, is from Kansas City. He is a graduate of Paseo High School. He's got his like PhD at Harvard. He did not go to Morehouse, but yeah, it has a good Kansas City. His wife is a doctor, and I think she went to Paseo High School. Dana or somebody wants to Google his name.
Cool.
I'm driving, so I don't have it. But yeah, there's a local connection. And you probably see a lot of black men in those pictures. Well, just know that Morehouse, even though it is a historically black college, it is open to everyone. In fact, about 3 years ago, the valedictorian was from Hickman, a former Hickman Mills High School graduate. And
that's
he was Caucasian.
Huh.
So it's open to anyone, even though it is a historically black college. You know, it is open to anyone.
Susan, you are right. Paseo grad David Thomas, named president of Morehouse College.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you for the
known fact. Thanks.
Thanks for the information. Do appreciate it. Here comes another poo-pooer. How'd you like to be the student that worked really hard to pay off your tuition all the way through, only to sit there in the stands while somebody pays off everybody else's?
Can't we just be happy
for these people?
Amen.
I mean, come on. This guy did something that is just remarkable. So generous. So nice. Why can't we just say, you know what? That's a good person. I didn't pay for my college. I've never had a student debt in my life. I'll be perfectly honest. My parents paid for my college. And I plan, and Shonda plans to pay for Sarah Myers. You don't get a badge of honor or a scarlet letter just because you have college debt. It doesn't make you a worse person. It doesn't make you a better person. Some people...
It makes you a stressed out person.
It certainly makes you stressed out. You know, and if I can provide an education for my daughters without them incurring any debt and having to work and pay off interest-laden debt when they graduate from college, I'm going to do it if I can. I don't think that's a crime. You know, I told them they're going, and I started saving as early as I could to put them through college. So I'm sitting here wearing shorts that I bought at Target and a t-shirt I got for free.
Actually, you're sitting here wearing that because...
That's how I dress for work every day.
While you have some flair, you do lack, some would say... what's the word I'm looking for?
Style?
I mean, you know, I do too. I'm not a high-end clothing retail shopper.
You look like a female Rory McIlroy.
I wish I was that tall.
I mean, you look like you work at a clubhouse.
had a jacket on. It was cold today. I'm just saying, I believe you would dress like this if you were a billionaire.
I would.
I absolutely believe that.
You look like something out of Caddyshack.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take that as a compliment. No, I agree with you. Can't, when something like this happens that is so nice and helps so many people, why can't we just be happy that it helped those kids?
One of two reasons, either jealousy. People have jealousy.
Well, if you're a junior at that school, you are certainly going, oh, why didn't my parents send me 1 year earlier to kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But you know what? You've always said this, Scott. Just because you can't help everyone doesn't mean
you don't help anyone.
You don't help anyone.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Anyway, I think some people genuinely just don't like good news, Dana.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't affect them. Somebody wins the lottery, and all they think of is, well, I didn't.
Right.
Instead of, wow, you know, good for them. You know, I hope they have a great life, and I hope they use it for the right reasons, and, you know, he'll never have to work again. They just say, well, I didn't win. It sucks. Why can't I win the lottery?
You sound like Eeyore. Didn't win the lottery.
Yeah. It would be nice if someone with that much power and influence would try to fix the system. He did. He shined a gigantic spotlight. I'm not saying he fixed the system. I think he tried to in the way that he could. He has no political power other than his money. But what he did yesterday, this Robert F. Smith, was he shined a gigantic light on the problem that is, as some have suggested, the next shoe to drop, and that is student loan debt.
We wouldn't be talking about it today otherwise. There'd be no reason to talk about it.
No, there would not. We have talked about student loan debt in the past, and people have phoned in with, you know, I still owe $36,000. I have never been able to figure out, and somebody said they broke down the debt at Morehouse last night. The lowest amount that somebody had to pay back was 10 grand, and the most was 150 grand. The one thing about student loan debt, and I've never had any, so I'm maybe speaking a little bit out of turn.
If it's yours, you don't care how much it is, you don't want it. The guy who has 10,000 in debt,
yeah,
despises that 10,000 in debt. The person who has 150 is probably a little more stressed out because that's such a big number.
I can't imagine.
But debt is debt. It's all crap.
True. I can't imagine, though, taking out or allowing my children to take out $150,000 in student loan debt.
That is a crippling, crippling amount of money.
That, with the way they compound the interest on that, you're going to be paying that off probably your entire professional life.
Yeah, they're called doctors.
Yeah, I understand. I can't imagine accruing that much debt. 576-7798.
Don't you worry about getting fixed up when you wake up. You're pretty enough. Look out your window at the cloud of dust.
You know what they need to do, and I don't know. Again, I don't have a dog in the fight, and hopefully never will. In regards to my kids, I know the government loans some of the student loans. I don't do private lenders also do that sometimes, like banks and stuff.
I don't know that your traditional. I don't know.
Okay.
When it comes to your traditional bank.
You can't get like a student loan from Cap Fed.
I don't know. It's okay. A good question, Scott. But I think most of them are like the Fannie
Mae, Freddie Mac, or whatever.
Trying to remember the name of my student loan because I had one for probably 3 years and just slowly chipped away at it until I paid it off. And I had a little coupon booklet. But I don't remember who
by
the
company coupon
was.
You mean coupon?
No, coupon.
Okay. There are some words on this show that you and I just do not say the same.
Like tourist.
Or crayon. Yes. What they need to do, though, is have whoever loans it out, and I know the government is behind a huge chunk of it, which I'm not sure why. Somebody needs to sit down and go, okay, where are you going to college? Okay. What are you going to major in? Okay, you're good for $40,000 of student loan debt, and that's it. Well, I want to go to Stanford and major in art history. Now, somebody just needs to look at that kid and go, negative. Or I'm going to go to Stanford and get a degree in elementary education. Nothing wrong with elementary education. But why don't you get that degree from Kansas University, not Stanford University? It'll be a little easier to pay off.
Have you been to Stanford?
Yeah, it's beautiful, I've heard. And very expensive. If you're, the degrees offered at those schools should only be degrees that pay back really good.
This is an older story, but listen to this from the New York Times. Unlike private lenders, the federal government has extraordinary tools for collection that it has extended to collection firms. Debtors seized one girl's paycheck. Social Security payments have been garnished. Two tax funds were garnished. And that was government-backed student loan debt. Overall, the government recoups about 80 cents for every dollar that goes into default.
Hmm.
Most lenders, Scott, 20 cents on the dollar.
Well, yeah, because the private lenders don't have the ability to take your tax refund.
I felt bad that we forgot Will Starrett's birthday.
Okay.
And so I thought we could maybe sing him a happy birthday song.
Okay.
I think he'll like it, but if he doesn't, it's not my fault.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, Carolyn.
Happy birthday to you.
Will Starrett.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Will Starrett.
Happy birthday to you.
All right, you got it.
See? That was good.
Did you grow testes?
Happy birthday, Will Starrett.
Will Starrett. Sound like you're half man. Weirdo. Oh, my God.
What's funny is at the beginning, I think I hear Bill Grady in there go, oh.
That was me.
Oh.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you, Jason Katz. What a wonderful job you did for us, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.